Hello, besties. Welcome to or welcome back to Ryan Talks. This is my podcast where I basically talk about whatever I want. And yeah, here we are. Where to start? Today is really nice out. That was such a lame sentence. Today is really nice out. It's really nice out today. Blue sky, sun. But it's not too warm because there's like a nice breeze. It's like the perfect weather. Sadly, this will only last so long before the weather just keeps going up and up and up. And then it's 100 plus degrees and I'm miserable. So holding on to the last, you know, just like a little bit left of winter temperatures and spring, my ideal spring temperatures. It's like 70 degrees right now. Which is like hot to me. I'm such a cold weather person, but I live in Washington State. And, you know, here we get all of the seasons, which I love. I'm very grateful for having all of the seasons where I live. However, I'm not a fan of heat and I like it to be cold. So anything above 65 is really just like not comfortable for me. But 70 with like a breeze, a cool breeze, that's fine. You know, but once we get above that, I'll probably complain about it at least once in every episode here on out. I can almost guarantee that once it starts getting hot. And yeah, in Washington where I live, it gets really hot. I want to say in the summers, but it's even before that. It's like beginning of May, I feel like it's going to get hot. And then it's been like lasting even longer. And so it's like November and it's still hot. Maybe November's a stretch. But at least October, it needs to stop being hot in like August because now fall is, it's like too hot for fall. So, you know, it's just a whole thing. Anyways, it's still nice out right now. It's still like an ideal weather situation for me. So I'm really trying to enjoy it. I went snowmobiling yesterday and there was a lot of dirt. There was a lot of pavement. Just from like the time that we went out in the morning to when we came back, so much melted. So the place we rode yesterday, going to be the last day riding there for this season. We're going to have to go elsewhere for whatever is left. I don't know if that was going to be my last ride or not for this season because I don't really have a lot of time left before I go to my grandma's. And then after that's like going to be April, second week of April-ish or whatever. So might be kind of... That could have been it for this season, but hopefully I can get at least one more in would be nice, but we'll just have to see how that works out. I am also currently animal sitting, surprise, surprise. I am animal sitting until like right before my mom and I go to my grandma's for spring break. So that's nice. And I mean, I love all of the animals that I animal sit for, but I really enjoy staying here and like the animals are really chill. So it's not like a lot of work, you know what I mean? Like it's not super, like some animals obviously are more work than others, but these ones are really chill. So this is the dog that has to sit in a chair for an hour and has to be fed in a special chair. So that would sound not chill, but like I've done it so many times and she's so easy with it that we've gotten into a routine and it's really chill now. So anyways, doing that. And what else do I have to update you on? Finally scheduled my test to take my endorsement test for TESOL, Teaching English as a Second Language. That was my minor in college. And I finished my college classes in like June or whatever of 2022. And it's March of 2024 and I haven't taken my test yet. So I finally scheduled it because, besties, I don't want to talk about this much because I feel like I always do, but the job market is looking even worse this year than it did last year. And that's really disappointing, obviously, for me, who didn't get a job last year and can't even fathom the idea of doing this again. So obviously it's not something I'm really wanting to think about that much, but just for an example, I'd already applied to multiple jobs this time last year, haven't posted a single one. So that's not the only reason why. I won't go into all the details, but basically it's just looking a lot worse this year. So I'm not feeling as confident as I was. I just like, even from the last time I recorded, because the last podcast episode I recorded, I was a lot more positive. But even since then, I've heard about even more jobs being taken, or like let people being let go. So it's hard to be like overly positive when you're like looking at the actual numbers, you know? Anyway, still trying to stay positive that if there are jobs, I'm going to get one of them. But there has to be jobs first. You know what I mean? Anyways, where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So I was like, okay, I finally just need to take my endorsement test so that I have this endorsement, because hopefully for whatever jobs are posted, it will help me like stand out or have a leg up with my endorsement. So finally scheduled my test and back to studying like crazy. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. I probably did, but my best friend Ellie and I did a lot of studying over the summer and like this kind of time last year. We did a lot of studying together because we would get together, we'd like go to Panera and we would study for our TESOL test, but also work on our WGU masters. And because we did the same minor. So anyways, we did a lot of studying, but we still never took the test. So I finally scheduled my test. It's for a week from today. A week from today, I will already know if I passed or not. So cross your fingers for me, because it's hard. It's really hard. The questions are just like, they're the kind of questions where you feel like you're trying to be set up to like say the wrong answer. And also the like test is old, and some of the like, because they give you like, you can like look up practice questions and stuff. And some of them are very outdated practices, but like the test hasn't been updated. So it's like, I like see these answers and I'm like, there's no way that that could be it. And then it's the answer. I'm like, that's literally insane, because no one does that anymore. So it's just kind of hard. The other thing is that the passing score for the West E for, it's the English language learners, but for my minor, it was TESOL. The passing score is a 240. I'm pretty sure the passing score for like the West E for just like leaving the teaching program was 230. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's right. So that means that my endorsement test has a higher passing like score. I have to score more points to pass. And the questions are, in my opinion, harder than the other ones were. And so I'm like, well, okay, a higher score needed and harder questions doesn't feel super great, super encouraging, right? And Ellie and I both, like when we took our Westies, we did a bunch of studying. Like the week, it was spring break, we hung out like every day and studied for hours straight. Like we studied and practiced so much, like because we were taking it one time and we were passing. That was our goal, and we did. We put a ton of effort into studying, and we had a lot of people telling us that they didn't think that the studying was going to pay off, basically, or they're like, I'm not going to study for it. And I'll just say this, that Ellie and I passed both tests on the very first try, and we studied like crazy, and that other people didn't study and didn't pass them both, like, on the first try. So, which is totally fine. Obviously, I'm not saying the tests were easy. They were hard, but I'm just saying our studying did pay off. And, but yeah, we had people trying to tell us that like it wasn't necessary, and we were like, okay, well, it really helped us. So, but yeah, we studied like hardcore. I'm not kidding you guys. Like, I've never studied for something so hard in my life. We also took both tests at the same time, and a lot of other people were like saying that they weren't going to do that, but we did it. And we also passed both on the first try. I don't know. I'm thinking that taking them both at the same time, because that way we didn't know, like, what if we passed one and failed the other one? Then we'd have to go into the next test knowing that we'd already failed one. Like, that would be awful. So we took them both at the same time, got them over with, studied crazy hard, and then passed them. And that wasn't the case for everybody else. So I'm like, I think our plan worked, right? So that's my goal for the TESOL test, is to just continue to study really, really hard and hope for the best. Yeah, I'm really hoping that my studying will pay off like it did last time. But like I said, these questions are just like weird. And these questions are so long. They give you so much information that's not really helpful, like not necessary, like filler information. And it's just like overwhelming. It's distracting. It's like so many buzzwords, and it's just like, it's a lot. So I'm sure Ellie would say the same thing. But anyways, I'm really hopeful that I will pass this because for one, I don't want to pay to take it again. And two, it would just be a nice stress to have off my shoulders knowing that I finally took it and just passed it on the first try. So cross your fingers for me, please. And I'll have to keep you guys updated in the future, whether I passed or not. But yeah, I'm planning to spend the majority of my day tomorrow studying, going through the questions, and just trying really, really hard because I don't want to take it more than once and I just want to pass and have an endorsement. So anyways, keep you updated on that. Other than that, I don't think I have any other updates. I've been reading a little bit more. I was in a bit of a slump, but I'm slowly coming back from it, and I've been listening to some audiobooks. So I think we're on the outs of the reading slump. Just got to keep it up. But anyways, that's good. So any hoosies, let's get into the point of today's episode. So I know we all know about that like personality test where you're like a FJ32 or you know what I mean? Like those numbers or letters or whatever. I've taken the test multiple times and every single time I forget what I am. And then I take the test again because it'll be like a year later and I'm like, I'm sure some of my thoughts have changed. Anyways, I thought it would be fun to take the test today and just kind of talk about it as I go through. I'm not going to talk about every single question, probably just the ones that interest me or the ones that I find are harder to answer. I might talk those through a little bit. And then at the end, the more important part will be talking about what I am and like going through that stuff because I just think that'd be kind of fun. So we're going to do it. It's called 16 Personalities or something like that as a website, I believe. I hope I'm on the right website. So let's get started. Okay, starting off strong, it says you regularly make new friends. That's so interesting to me because I feel like I don't have a hard time making friends, like when in the situation to do so. But I wouldn't say that I regularly make new friends. You know what I mean? Like, I don't find myself in the situation that often, but when I do, I don't think I really struggle too much. Does that make sense? I don't know. This question I feel like is part of my downfall as a person. It says, when making decisions, you focus more on how the affected people might feel than on what is most logical or efficient. I mean, like, obviously in some situations it's better to like, you should always think about how what you're doing might affect others. But like, sometimes I worry about how it'll affect others more, even though what's logical and efficient is going to be better for me. Like, sometimes I need to be a little bit more selfish and like put myself first. So, but that's hard to do sometimes. I struggle with that at least. This one is, you often allow the day to unfold without any schedule at all. That was a strong disagree. And then you rarely worry about whether you make a good impression on people you meet. I try really hard not to care about what people think. Like overall, like if I'm doing something, like for example, let's say I'm doing this podcast. There's probably people I know that like follow me on Instagram and have heard me talk about it. And they probably think it's stupid. Like they probably think it's pointless. That kind of stuff doesn't bother me. I'm like, okay, well, sorry that you don't, that's fine. But I do want people to like, I always want my intentions to come across right. And so like, I care about my impressions in terms of people like thinking I'm a good person because I think I'm a good person. And I mean, I know I'm a good person. And obviously like, if I know I'm a good person, that's all that really matters. But it's nice when other people also think that. So like, I do worry about that in the sense like, oh, I hope I wasn't too nervous and said something that came across the wrong way, you know, things like that. I don't worry about it all the time. I guess it depends on the person. Depends on like how much I feel like they're actually going to be in my life. And that probably plays a huge role. Like if I'm never going to see someone again, don't really care as much, you know? This next one is really interesting. And this is why when I say that I like take the test again, because I feel like things have changed. This is an example of something that I think my answer has probably changed on in the past. It says, you would rather have the final say than maintain a peaceful environment. I feel like a year ago I would have said that I would rather maintain a peaceful environment. Where I am now, I would not even like have the final say, I guess. I don't really feel like that describes it in the way that I'm thinking. But like, I would rather, you know, say what I need to say and put an end to things if necessary, rather than just like let it be peaceful. But internally, I'm not doing well, you know? And I feel like that's growth for me. I think it's better that I'm not just maintaining a peaceful environment to make it comfortable for other people, because like I'm uncomfortable. So like, you know, I need to worry about myself being uncomfortable first, you know, depending on the situation, of course. But anyways, that's just an interesting question, because that's something that I feel like my thoughts have definitely changed regarding.
You avoid making phone calls.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do. This one is so funny because I remember this question every time. It says, you would love a job that requires you to work alone most of the time. And every single time I put like the most agreeing answer. And girl, you're a teacher. So that's crazy that you feel that way. But you're in a job where you're literally never alone. Even during the times that you're supposed to be alone, you're usually not. So what's that about?
This next question is another one that is probably never changed. It is, you often feel overwhelmed.
Again, the most possible agreement that could be is my answer. Okay, this last question is again an interesting one. So it says, you feel confident that things will work out for you.
As much as you've ever heard me say anything negative ever on this podcast, I confidently do agree that things will work out for me. I don't necessarily think in the like always in the near future or in regard to the situation I'm struggling with at the moment, but like in the future, grand scheme of life, I do feel confident that things will work out for me. I am not confident that I will enjoy the journey it takes to get there, but I am convinced that things will always work out for me in the end, whenever the end, like how far away the end of a certain thing might be. So I just think that's kind of interesting, because I feel like sometimes listening to what I say, you might not think that I feel that way, but I do. So now we're going to see my results. Okay, my personality type is the Defender, which is the ISFJ-T. I'm pretty sure I've had this one before. So it says, Defenders are very dedicated and warm protectors, always ready to defend their loved ones. Okay, so for my energy, I am 25% extroverted and 75% introverted. Introverted individuals tend to prefer fewer yet deep and meaningful social interactions and often feel drawn to calmer environments. This is interesting because like that question's always been hard for me. I've never really like identified myself either way as like extroverted or introverted, because I feel like when I'm with people, I'm really good at like matching their energy. But like when I'm alone, like I do feel the more introverted side of me, I guess. For my mind, I'm 43% intuitive and 57% observant. Why can't I speak? 57% observant. So it's kind of in the middle. Observant individuals are pragmatic and down to earth. They tend to have a strong focus on what is happening or very likely to happen. That is very true. I think I'm extremely self-aware. So, nature, I'm 40% thinking and 60% feeling. This is kind of interesting to me because I'm a very emotional person. So, I guess I was kind of expecting that to be higher, the feeling part. But it says, feeling individuals value emotional expression and sensitivity. They place a lot of importance on empathy, social harmony, and cooperation. I guess describing it that way, I can see why it's not as high. But for tactics, 67% judging. That sounds mean. 33% prospecting. I feel like I've never said that word out loud before. Judging individuals are decisive, thorough, and highly organized. They value clarity, predictability, and closure. That's true. Love closure. You should always give closure. That's my opinion. Don't just leave things hanging. But, you know, teach their own. Preferring structure and planning to spontaneity. That is true. I definitely feel like there's a time and place for spontaneity in my life. But there, again, a time and a place. Identity, 53% turbulent,
47% assertive. So turbulent individuals are self-conscious. Okay. Thank you. What was that noise? That was weird. Are self-conscious and sensitive to stress. They feel a sense of urgency in their emotions and tend to be success-driven, perfectionistic, and eager to improve. Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, next. Oh, one more thing. Now I have to put in my email so I can like see like the deeper thingy. Hold on. Okay, I'm definitely not going to read like every single thing, but basically it does say that defenders help make the world go around, so that's pretty important. One of my greatest gifts is loyalty. Oh, sorry. I just read something that kind of hit home at this point in time. But I don't even know. I'm not going to say it, I don't think. No, I'm not going to get into that. But anyways, I did read something that really hits home and makes me kind of feel not like icky. It doesn't make me feel icky because like what it's saying, icky is not the right word at all. Definitely didn't mean that. Like, it doesn't make me feel icky. It makes me feel kind of like, I guess. I don't know. It's talking about something that I typically do as someone that's like loyal. And it's something that I feel like I've kind of challenged in myself recently. So reading that was kind of like, oh, that hit the nail on the head. Like a little too relatable for this point in time. But that's okay. Anyways, the highest of standards. Good enough is rarely good enough. That's what I feel. I do kind of feel that way about the things that I do. But also, like what I do for myself, I mean, and then also what I do for others. Like I try my best to go above and beyond for others, but even still, I kind of feel like it's not, you know, the best. It says showing it for others and themselves, although introverted ISFJ personalities have a deeply social nature. I do agree with that. I do think that for sure. Oh, here are some defenders. Beyonce, Queen Elizabeth II. Is that the second? I don't know Roman numerals. Aretha Franklin, Vin Diesel, Halle Berry. These are, okay, I'm like naming people that I barely know. Kate Middleton, is that from the royal family or married into? I literally have no idea. Anne Hathaway, I do know who that is. Lance Reddick, I don't know who that is. Selena Gomez. Oh my God, that's the only one that matters. I love Selena Gomez. Heck yeah. Caitlin Stark. Don't know. Samwise Gamgee, Dr. Watson. I don't know any of these people. Captain America. I only know of him. Like, you know, Tris Marigold, Will Turner, Pam Beasley. Stop. Not Selena Gomez and Pam Beasley. What more could you ask for? Vito Corleone and Brie Van de Kamp. Okay. I don't know. I'm really excited about the Selena Gomez and Pam Beasley part. Okay, now we're going into my strengths and weaknesses. Okay, here are my strengths. I'm not going to give you like full explanations, just going to basically read them. My strengths are I'm supportive, reliable, observant, enthusiastic, hardworking, and good practical skills. I would agree with that. Weaknesses, overly humble. Yeah, I could do that sometimes. I definitely don't ever want to sound like I'm gloating. Taking things personally, I guess it depends. When it comes to like kids, I don't take things personally because the amount of things that mean things that kids say all the time, no matter what, like I don't take those things personally. But when it comes from like certain adults or certain people that mean a lot to me, then I tend to take things personally. Repressing their feelings. Yeah. We know. Working on that. Reluctant to change. I don't feel this way. I don't feel like I'm that reluctant to change. I think I'm reluctant to change when I don't have a say at all or when it like comes so quickly. But like if things change over time or I know a change is coming, usually I'm excited. I guess it's kind of just the like unknowing of the timeline maybe, or something's changing that I could have had a say in, but I wasn't given a say in, then I feel like then I might be reluctant to change. Okay, this last weakness, I'm going to read to you the whole thing, because if this isn't the truth, I don't know what is. So, too altruistic, ISFJs, giving generous nature can leave them vulnerable to being taken advantage of by others. It can be hard for them to rock the boat and stand up to someone who isn't pulling their own weight. In fact, ISFJs are the most likely personality type to say they would rather clean up someone else's mess than confront them about it directly. Considering I've literally done that, it is true. And that is a weakness of mine, for sure. Okay, now it's romantic relationships. I don't really want to get too much into this because I don't even know. I haven't been in a romantic relationship in a long time. And I feel like I don't even know. But it does say here that ISFJ personalities approach dating and romance with an enormous level of dedication and loyalty. They value deep, enduring connections and are often seeking long-term commitment rather than short-lived adventures. That is very true. I do feel that way. So that's really all I'm interested in reading about the romantic relationships. But now we're moving on to friendships. We're trying. Okay, here we go. Let's see what it says. Okay, I'm just kind of going into like the highlighted sections. ISFJs navigate friendship with a unique blend of warmth, support, and consistency. Their natural ability to connect on a personal level and truly understand others allows them to build strong, long-lasting bonds. I do feel this way. Yep, here it is. If taken too far, however, it can lead them to fall into the trap of people-pleasing. I am a big people-pleaser. But hey, I guess it's literally in my nature here. I feel like I'm a really good friend. And I feel like I have really good friendships that are really, like, deep and meaningful. Like, I'm just going to use Ellie for an example because I feel like I talk about her a lot. But her and I feel like our friendship, like, is something I've never experienced before. And I can't really even fully describe to you, like, how much it truly means to me. And there's just something about, like, the connection that we have and the way that we talk to each other. I don't know. Like, it just means so much to me. And I feel like that kind of shows with, like, this, like, the stuff I'm reading. Because, like, I just, like, care so much. And I want my friendships to flourish. And I feel like I do whatever I can to make that happen. And, like, continue to help them grow. So, yeah, I just feel like we... Like, she's just a really good example of that kind of friendship that I feel like this is talking about, like, connecting on a personal level and understanding them and building strong, lasting bonds. Like, Ellie and I have been friends, like, we met in college, so it hasn't been that long, but I feel like I've known her my whole life, and it's the kind of friendship that I know will never, ever end. Like, not that I, like, think about that often. Like, I don't think, oh, I wonder which one of my friendships will... make it. Like, I don't think about that. But if I were to think about it, like, she is a friendship that I know, no matter what, will never go anywhere. And there's so much comfort in that. And it's just like, yeah, it just means a lot to me. And I care a lot about it. So anyways, I just feel like that kind of related, you know? Okay, this one is, this is another, like, point that really relates to me. ISFJ personalities appreciate their friends deeply and they aren't afraid to show it, but it may be difficult for them to ask for that same appreciation in return. This is definitely true, and I feel like the reason why it's hard for me to ask for that same appreciation in return is probably the same reason for a lot of people why it's hard for them to, like, express their needs. At some point in their life, they have expressed those needs, and instead of the person being receptive to that, the person shut them out. And, like, I don't know, you think of when people are in a relationship and they're scared to tell their partner that they need, like, validation or whatever. And so when they tell their partner that, instead of the partner being like, hey, I hear you, like, I'm really sorry, or, like, this is how I feel, like, maybe we can compromise, or how can we work through this? The person's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not good enough for you anyways, or I'm, and then they, like, leave, you know? So then the only examples or, like, experience you have of, like, asking for what you need, the person just leaves. And so I feel like that has happened with my friendships. And so it takes me to where, like, I don't want to lose a friendship because I care so deeply about all of my friendships that it's easier to not express my needs, because I'm afraid that when I do express my needs, the person will either like not reciprocate or like not do what I'm hoping for, or they just won't care and they won't like they won't spend the time to actually try and figure it out and they'll just leave. And so it's easier to avoid that, which I feel like came up in something earlier where I was like, I'd rather clean up the mess than bring it up. And I feel like that's the same way. But like sometimes, like that's something I'm definitely working on, getting to the point where it's like, okay, I need to bring up what I need. And if a person isn't willing to give me that, then clearly the compatibility is not there, which I've been reading or like seeing a lot about on TikTok, how like mostly it's been with relationships, but I'm not in a relationship. So I just have to apply it to like friendships and other types of connections with people. And it's like, you can't, you know, control what other people are going to do. So if you express how you feel to somebody and they don't want to do anything about it, that's just it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make them do what you want, and you can't make them do what you think they should want to do. So instead of like harping on that, it's like, okay, well, at least now I know, and now I can move on, because I can't change people. They have to want to do the changing. And, you know, if they are not, like, we all have our needs. And sometimes, whether it's a friendship or a relationship or any kind of connection, sometimes as time goes on, you could see that those things, your needs, are just not compatible with people. And like, I'm not saying that you can't make compromises or you can't change to meet someone else's needs if your needs don't match theirs. Like, I'm not saying someone could tell me something and I'll just be like, oh, well, that's not how I feel, so we're done. Like, you know, I would still try to see if anything can be done. But again, you also can't make someone do that. So I feel like that's something that is definitely a part of like my, like this personality thing, and just like relating to all aspects of my life, if that makes any sense. Okay, the next section is parenthood. I'm not a parent and not planning on being one anytime soon, so I'm really not gonna go through that one, but we're gonna move on to career paths. Curious to see what it says. Like, does it give anything specific? Because obviously we know what my career path is. Hold on, okay, I'm gonna read through it for just a second. Okay, here it is. Listen up, besties. With their natural humility, these personalities tend to feel especially fulfilled by careers that allow them to facilitate others' growth, healing, and progress. ISFJs' patience and ability to stay present in the moment enable them to be incredibly attuned to the needs of people they are serving. Teaching is a prime example of a career that takes advantage of these important ISFJ strengths, as are speech therapy, occupational therapy, etc., etc. So, yep, sounds like I am in the right career field. Basically, I just want to help people. Just want to help people, specifically kids. My patience runs very dry as people get older and should know better. But I want to help those that are kids. I want to help kids and teach them. So I guess it all adds up, really. So that's good. It's really interesting just how accurate these things always feel. And it even says right here, if you feel understood right now, it's because you are. Years of research has given us deep insights into the unique strength and challenges of ISFJs like you. Like, we understand your altruism and your can-do attitude, but we also know the vulnerabilities of your personality type, including the fear that you'll fall short of your potential. Yep. Yeah. So anyways, it's just crazy like how accurate this, every time I take the test, even though I think some of my answers change over time, I am always just like shocked as to how accurate it is, but it's really cool. And I think it's really awesome that we can, you know, take the time to learn more about ourselves, because not that I want to change who I am, but if you did want to make any changes, it's important to understand yourself and who you are first before you start changing things, because how can you change something if you don't know what it is in the first place, you know? But I think just like in terms of going into a career and building connections, whether that be a friendship or romantic relationship, whatever, it is important to know what makes you you and how that affects your like situations in your life. So I don't know. I just think it's fun. And now I'm not going to forget. And if I do forget, I can come back and listen to this podcast because I said ISFJ so many times. So now we'll know. But anyways, I think that's everything for today's episode. Thank you for coming along with me. And maybe you learned something new about me, dug a little bit deeper into my personality. So hope that was fun for you. What's that TikTok sound where it's like, well, that's my life. Hope you had a good time because I know I did, or something like that. Anyways, that is everything. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, I guess that's everything. So I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.